If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Lore Boys Podcast. Ethan here, bringing it to you silky smooth on this week's edition of the Lore Boys. Today, I'm joined with...
Peter O'Donohue, equally as silky smooth as the previous host. And I'm joined with...
Hey, James here.
Dang.
And we're all joined at the neck. It's very uncomfortable.
Yes.
We share one mic. We share one body. Three minds united.
Yes. It is the easiest way to prevent echo.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
That's not how we talk.
No.
That is how Jamie talks.
That's how I talk.
We're the Lore Boys Podcast. We're a lore podcast. Talks about dumb nerd shit a lot.
Yeah.
But also good nerd shit sometimes.
Stuff you shouldn't care about, but do. And we're going to capitalize on that.
So this is the part two of my Warhammer series.
Mm.
Originally, it was supposed to be a two-parter. This was supposed to wrap it up going into the Age of Sigmar. But that's not going to happen because...
Squeeze a little bit more blood from that stone.
Yeah, I'm a common bitch that just loves the lore too much and gets a little too engrossed in it and ended up writing way too much script to just cut it off at the end. So I do hope to wrap this up. We're kind of doing like a Sigmar trilogy. This obviously isn't even scratching the surface of all the Warhammer lore. But this is Sigmar's story. So last episode we talked about his ascendancy to godhood. If you want to go back and listen to it, you can. I don't think nothing from the last episode is mandatory for this episode. You'll probably just enjoy this one more if you've listened to last week's, despite the audio issues that we had.
Yeah, would you be able to do like a Spark Notes, like 30-second broad strokes?
Sigmar, born of the Umbarogan clan.
Okay.
He united the 12 clans of man.
Twin-tailed comet.
Yeah, of the Twin-Tailed Comet heralded his arrival.
That's right.
He united the 12 clans of the southern tribes of man, as opposed to the northern tribes of man, which are the Chaos Barbarians, the forces of chaos. He then went on to fight a bunch of battles, and we talked about his battles against the Lord of the Dead, Nagash, and then finally the first Chaos Incursion. And how he fought them off. And then once that was done, in the 50th year of his reign, he got up and went out for smokes and never came back.
No, right.
He went to the World's Edge Mountains, and Ulrich, the god of man at the time, or one of the gods of men, the primary deity of the realm of man at the time, granted him access into the pantheon of the gods.
Awesome. Okay.
And that's where we ended yesterday.
So now he's a big old god.
So Sigmar's a god, so I guess trilogy over, right?
Pretty good.
That's just it. It's all done.
That's what stories are all about, is people just getting to the highest point and that's where it stays.
Becoming gods. Harry Potter did it.
Yeah.
So today's episode we're going to talk about a bit about the period immediately after, and I'm just going to kind of mention some of the factions, and then we're jumping 2,000 years into the future, we're jumping 2,000 years into the future, and then we're jumping like 500 years past that.
Okay.
And those are like our three touch points, really. This is the end times that we're talking about today, ostensibly. And there's just some characters that we're going to set up going into that.
End times of the human empire?
Of the World of Malice.
Of the World of Malice.
This is the End of the World podcast.
Okay.
That is an actual podcast, isn't it?
Is it? Might be.
I think it is.
Shout out to those guys. You can send our check in the mail. also, Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg. And you just say rich people's names and they have to send you money, right? It's free real estate.
I think if they define themselves as a corporation, you have to send them money, I think.
No. Oh no!
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, delete it. Delete the audio.
It's just like slapping a keyboard. Like,
yeah. I'm trying. It's not
open
working.
Open hand slapping.
I can't turn the mics off. Zuck's infiltrated the computer.
Yeah, oh no.
Oh, I love that ham hand keyboard slapping.
So, Sigmar.
Yeah.
Sigmar's legacy only grew after he passed into the World's Edge Mountains. He was undoubtedly the most loved and appreciated leader in the history of the Reich Basin, the Southlands where
the River Reich the Empire runs
is
founded.
Yeah, and it's the Reich Basin, and Reichland is the name of the province where Sigmar's empire was founded. Right. And before he left, shrines had begun to be erected in his glory. So before he even went out for smokes, people were already kind of like building shrines to him.
Do you think that was the reason he did it? He was just like, well, I guess I'll be a god.
Yeah,
people are building shrines to me.
Yeah,
people, I don't want them to go. I don't want them to go to waste.
Yeah, all these pilgrimage hours just going untapped.
Yeah,
how can I capitalize on this? he wasn't, or they weren't. The shrines weren't built for worship at the time. It was more just like commemoration. It was more just like statues in his honor and stuff.
Oh, okay,
but then he left. He joined Ulrich in the pantheon of the gods, and he did ascend to godhood, although not necessarily everybody knew that. It's not like he live tweeted it.
Is the pantheon of the gods a physical place?
The World's Edge, Edge Mountains is a physical place.
Okay.
Whether or not they live there in physical form is like kind of vague.
It's like Mount Olympus.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's
a real mountain, but
except Mount Olympus is like the center of the world, and this is like the World's Edge Mountain, so I assume it's like, it sounds like a metaphor for, like, beyond the realm of man.
Okay.
The blurry, indistinct line between this mortal plane and the plane of the gods.
It's the edge of the totally legitimate flat earth. It's what keeps all the water on the earth.
It's the,
and I didn't realize Greece was the center of the world either.
I assume in the Greek civilization,
they
consider it.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Greek civilization. I could be way off base here, but I would not be surprised in the least bit if they're like Mount Olympus, center of the earth.
I saw a trailer for Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I think I might. I think I might know that everybody was just a goat fucking pervert. Because that's basically that game.
That's just people's like main stance until recently is like, oh, the sun revolves around us. Oh, okay, the universe revolves around us. Everything revolves.
Exactly.
Around us.
Yeah.
We are the center. We must be. We're
Greece
important.
Was the center of the earth.
Yeah. Or something. Well, Mount Olympus was the center of Greece.
Right.
Something. I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, edge of the earth, pantheon. He's a god.
Earth is always edging.
He is a god. Earth is so on edge.
Earth.
Yeah. What do you call it?
That?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
E-E-R-F. That's the planet we live on.
So the formal cult of Sigmar would first appear 23 years after Sigmar's departure. The cult of Sigmar was founded by a man named Johann in the year 73 IC, which stands for Imperial Calendar.
Okay.
If you guys didn't remember from last week's episode.
I didn't.
I assume you guys do, because you guys listened to my every word with bated breath.
Well, the rest of you do. Jamie and I probably forgot.
Yeah, I listen real good at the time, but I'm so focused on listening and not on remembering a lot of the time.
You're so focused on hearing, not listening?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah, that's what they taught me in psychology school.
Yeah, listen, hear, don't listen to your patient. What they have to say is not important.
No. What they really want is someone to spout things back at them that sounds pseudo-intellectual and then prescribe something.
Yeah, and then charge them like $300-$400 an hour.
Yeah, oh, easy.
People go to psychologists just because they have money to burn.
it was subsidized in the healthcare was subsidized in the Empire though. So
really,
I
in the
no
IC,
idea. I just made that up.
Oh, 80% of your leeches are covered.
Yeah, if you guys remember, it is an empire and there is an emperor, but they're elected. The emperor. So at Sigmar's leaving, they do become a democracy.
Right. Yeah, I remember he was just like, no gods or kings, I'm gonna go be a god. Vote for somebody.
Exactly. So Johann begins to spread this message of a vision that he had of Sigmar kneeling before Ulrich and Ulrich placing a crown on his head, and is like, I had a dream where this happened, so he's probably a god now, right? He was, because I guess that's how it works.
And
in this
no
world.
One else had ever had a dream before, so I guess they just believed him.
They're like, what? Yeah. You saw images while you sleep. Are you sure you weren't awake? It's only possible to see images whence awake, dear Johann. It's like, no, I'm telling you, man, it was crazy. My teeth fell out, and I tried to scream, but I couldn't, like, I make a sound with my voice.
Every time I moved, it felt like I was trying to punch underwater.
Yeah, it's like it was so weird. And Sigmar was there, and Ulrich was there,
and you were there. Nobody, we all had hats on shaped like luxury sedans.
Yeah, but nobody really had faces, but I still knew who they were. Yeah. Dreams.
I opened a door in a place that I recognized that led to somewhere completely different.
So the followers of Sigmar were devoted to proving themselves worthy via fight and battle, and to protecting
this
Sigmar's
never
empire.
Fucking stops.
No, it doesn't. It's really like the main tenet. I'll get to the strictures of the cult in a little bit, but it's like it's one of the main tenets is like you kill bad things. You know,
it's constantly. Not called Peace Hammer.
No, no, that's true. That'd exactly, be a very bad tabletop.
Exactly.
Peace Hammer. And now, how do they have a hammer?
I sent my Gene Stealer brood across the table, and with their forearm, their clawed forearms, they're going to give you a great big hug.
Yeah.
This one's going to give you a shoulder massage.
Help you with your melon garden.
My melon garden does need work.
That's chicken coop money right there. Which is my catchphrase, of which we've established over the course of 70 episodes.
So the followers of Sigmar are dedicated to rooting out the forces of chaos and also the greenskins or the orcs.
Are they like the Inquisition or are they like McCarthy's commie hunters?
I don't know the difference. I don't know who McCarthy's commie hunters are.
So in the 50s in the States, like McCarthyism was basically like ratting out your neighbors for being communists.
They might be commies.
Yeah. And then the Inquisition were the same thing, I think, but for non-Christians or something?
Yeah, so they were a lot like paranoid Christians.
Oh, okay.
They became very superstitious, and like there was probably a lot of persecution, a lot of people burned who didn't need to be burned. A
lot of witches.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. In a world where like witches are real, and you know people worship the all-consuming presence of hopeless chaos.
Yeah. It's better to be superstitious than just stitious, at least.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the best kind of stitious. I pity those damn substitious fools.
What would they do? Would they just like trust everything?
Yeah, I trust everything way too much.
Yeah. Substitious?
Yeah. They get suckered into every pyramid scheme and MLM.
BitConnect.
Yeah. Exactly.
Old meme, I'm sorry.
So, chaos never sleeps is a common refrain among the priests of Sigmar. And so the cult is always watching out for those forces that might bring its ruin.
Drawing on their friends' faces and stuff while they're sleeping. Yeah. Chaos never sleeps, loser.
Fuck you, nerd.
So the Hordes of Chaos, which we've talked about a bit now, is one of a few names given to a race of barbarian humans that occupy the harsh and unforgiving lands of the north, known as the Northern Wastes. And like a lot of this sounds like pretty tropey, but you got to remember like this was written a long time ago, so it was kind of kind of like a progenitor to all the tropes.
It's tropey
like,
now.
Yeah, like there's the common meme, "Blood for the Blood God."
Yeah,
that is from Warhammer 40K. That's like a common refrain of the Chaos Space Marines.
Okay,
something they shout when they're going into battle.
Mm. I've heard both of you say that. Had no idea where that was from.
Yeah, it's from I've said it before. Well, we've modified it for like "Likes for the Like God." Yeah,
stuff like that. Well, it was kind of like a meme on the internet for a while.
"Blanks for the Blank God" is the meme. Yeah,
yeah.
Huh, didn't know that.
So the barbarians are considered to be the enemies of all the world, whose devout worship to a twisted pantheon drives them to usher in the downfall of all mankind. They're all aggro. They're Gandhi after nukes are researched.
Oh, okay.
And they're just like, kill everyone all the time, no matter who it is, and every other person hates them, and they hate every other person.
Do they hate each other?
A lot of the time, yeah. Like, there's a lot of infighting, a lot of squabbling. That's like, kind of, it's like them and the greenskins, the orcs. The big thing is like, they probably could have taken over the world 10 times over, but they can't stop fighting amongst themselves to get it done.
Yeah.
All the followers of Chaos have given themselves over to the ruinous powers one way or another. So this was something that we talked about on the last episode, was are they the same gods as in the 40K version? I did Google it, like name for name. Yes, they're all the same. All the themes are the same, like Tzeentch is like of magic and mystery, and Nurgle's like decay, and Slaanesh is like indulgence, and Khorne is blood.
Right.
He's the blood god.
Oh, okay.
But again, it's heavily implied that it's kind of the same universe, but there's no canonical tie between the two settings.
Okay.
So whether or not it's like 40K actually came before, you know, Warhammer Fantasy Battle, or Warhammer Fantasy Battle came before 40K. Like, there's nothing that supports that. There's nothing that says, like, after the lizard men, you know, conquered the world, well, we know the world's going to end because we're going to talk about it today, but there's nothing that says, like, you know, these people just evolved enough to get guns and then, you know, Warhammer 40K happened.
Right. Well, it's not 40,000 years of history and then the gods, they're not, it's less of a, oh my God, are you Mr. Slaanesh of Slaanesh fame? It's more like a Slaanesh franchise that they've just opened in the future.
Yeah. Okay. So like I want to do like more Warhammer episodes, obviously, because I love this shit.
Yeah.
So there are these beings called the Old Ones, which are like the precursor gods, the ones who like sowed life, lizard men being the first life in the Warhammer Fantasy Battle universe.
Oh, really?
And they were the ones that first found this planet of malice and seeded life on it. They made the lizard men, then they made like the elves, the humans, the dwarves,
okay,
all those
cool
other things, and then they came to their own end, which a series of episodes that I'd love to do.
I feel like a lot of Warcraft stuff borrows from Warhammer.
For sure.
I think there was some sort of story of like one of them was approached with one of the games and was like, it was either Warhammer or Blizzard, and they're like, nah, I'm not into it. And the other one got it. It took off, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah,
sounds like it could be though. And I mean, again, all fantasy is kind of derivative of Tolkien.
Yeah,
a lot of modern fantasy is derivative of D&D, which was derivative of Tolkien, and a lot of modern fantasy is derivative of Warhammer, which was derivative of D&D, because originally I think it was supposed to be like a Dungeons and Dragons mod, but it didn't really happen that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am not the real life lore boy researcher guy. That's you, James, in case you didn't know.
I'm a real life researcher?
Well, you do a lot of topics. You do a lot of delving into the real life aspects.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The topics that you cover.
My topics are real life. Yeah. I'm not a researcher.
You're not a real boy. I almost blew it there, Peter. I almost had him believing for a second.
Okay. Yeah. Like, it cuts to you and I in an office. Like,
yeah.
Okay. We got it, everybody. Take your headsets off. Just like, take a swig of coffee. It's like, ooh, we almost lost him there.
Yeah. throw the blanket over his cage. Yeah. Make him go to bed.
Give me the tablet with the wiki. Yeah. It helps me sleep.
Put on Paw Patrol for him. Just distract him.
Leave the radio on so he thinks someone's home.
Yeah, it was when I was with my ex-girlfriend. She had a dog, and I had a dog, and we left them out in the living room, and we went to sleep. We woke up in the morning. One of them was sleeping on the PS4 controller and had turned on Paw Patrol. So we walk in the morning, and the two dogs are just sitting on the couch watching Paw Patrol.
That's so cute.
It's like on The Simpsons where like Bart needs to go help Principal Skinner like look for the comet. And and he like the cat and the dog are watching TV, and then he like comes downstairs and they turn the TV off and pretend to sleep, and then when he's gone they just get back up on. Turn the TV
So the barbarians of the Northern Wastes worship the ruinous powers. The ruinous powers are those demonic gods of a pantheon, four of whom stand out among the rest, are known as the Lords of Chaos. So the Chaos has its own pantheon to kind of rival like Ulrich and Sigmar's pantheon.
Yeah.
And like there's a huge list of greater demons. The the Skaven, the rat people's god, exists in that pantheon. He's known as the Horned Rat.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. I love the Skaven, and again, I spent like 3 hours today just reading like Warhammer lore, and I can't wait to do more episodes. I love this shit. I'm a big nerd. But the four main gods, the four strongest of the gods, are the ones that I just mentioned: Khorne, the Blood God; Tzeentch, the Changer of Ways; Slaanesh, the Prince of Excess; and Nurgle, the Lord of Decay.
Nurgle.
It was these four whom the cult
Nurgle hangs out with Garfield.
Exactly.
He hates Mondays. Oh boy. Yeah. No Mondays in the Chaos Realm.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday.
It's chaos, I tell you.
That's true. You can't organize anything. That's how they do it. They just got rid of Monday off the calendar. And everybody's just like, oh, it fell to disrepair immediately.
No one knew when to get to work.
Half the businesses start their work week on Sunday, and then the other half of businesses start their work week on Tuesday, and just nobody syncs up.
No, exactly.
It's a big mess.
Can't get anything done. It's pure anarchy.
Nope. So I have a bank account. I can't take my money out.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is.
I don't know where it is. Yeah. It's just floating through the nether. All my money. So it's these four lords whom the Cult of Sigmar stood in direct opposition to. So the exact strictures, like I had said earlier, of the cult are one, excuse me,
two,
obey your orders, three, aid dwarf folk, four, work to promote the unity of the empire, even at the cost of individual liberty, five, bear true allegiance to his imperial majesty, the emperor, and six, root out and destroy greenskins, the servants of chaos, and those who use corrupt magic wherever they may hide.
Okay.
So basically, listen to what we say. Help the dwarves.
Excuse yourself.
Excuse yourself when you burp.
Yeah, be polite.
Work to promote the unity of the empire, even at the cost of individual liberty. Which
that's a crazy one.
That's that sounds like commie talk.
That's commie talk.
I mean,
it's like more slavery than like communism, I would say, right? Like,
well, no, it's like Stalinism.
Yeah.
It's kinda, like when I say commie, I don't mean communism, which I support in theory. I mean, like, real world communism, which is terrible and despotic.
Yeah, exactly.
Just never seems to work. I don't know why.
Every time we try to share something, someone gets a bigger half. Yeah. I don't get it.
It's a half. They're the same. Don't worry.
Don't worry that my half is bigger than your half.
Yeah, exactly.
They're halves.
Yeah, exactly. 50-50, right?
Yeah.
We did the math and numbers don't lie. It's like, I'm suspicious. You might be lying to me, though.
It's like they split all the Oreos, but rather than cutting them down the middle, they just take out the filling and one person gets filling and another person gets the cookies.
Which one would you want to be?
Cookie. 100%.
Cookie, for sure,
Hundo P. Yeah.
Huh.
I find the filling too sweet.
And that's why me and Peter would never get along in a communism.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really like it.
Because we would both get filling, and or one of us would get filling, and one of us would get cookie, and the other person would be upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd be fine with the filling.
I mean, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
You could spread it on toast. Except for the fact it doesn't come repackaged.
No, but they...
So you'd have, like, a heap of Oreo frosting.
Yeah, no, they're just pucks.
Just, like, scrape off the top.
Yeah, but they split up the toast, so one person gets the bread part, the other person gets the crust.
Oh,
who gets which part?
Who eats the heel? It's all crust.
It's all crust.
Actually, some bread crust and Oreo filling, that wouldn't be so bad.
Having a nice charming picnic. Sorry to tangent this far, but having a nice charming picnic with like a maggot, and then just like Oreo frosting on a plate out in a park on a checkered blanket.
But you cut open the baguette and it's just hollow on the inside.
No,
it's just like a baked crust.
I pictured it more that it was all there. Yeah. No, it was all there, and they just scoop out the middle and throw it away over their shoulder.
No one would ever eat that.
Open all the Oreos, throw all the biscuits away.
Peter, it is a tube or a French straw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So they use a straws
packed
in France.
With cigarettes.
I'm going to France in a week and a half.
So. That's true, yeah.
That's going to be good. Yeah, dude, you should try that. I think a good soup with a nice baguette straw go quite well. Yeah.
Excuse me, garçon?
More Oreo frosting.
French
he,
soup?
He, like, shows you the cookie and, like, in a napkin, then he, like, twists the cookie off for you, like he's popping up on a corner.
Yeah, yeah.
French soup, by the way, is just red wine, so it's baguette and red wine.
Yeah. No, with some cigarette butts in there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sorry for that, listeners. Thank you for coming on this journey today.
The French are a cultured people. And they don't exist in the Warhammer 40K universe, or the Warhammer Fantasy Battle universe, which does mean, despite all the bloodshed and carnage, it is still better than our world.
There are no Frenchmen. Exactly. Despite the gods of chaos, no France.
I love how easy it is to neg on France. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I support a lot of what they do.
But yeah, same.
I support the revolution. You know what I mean?
Vivre.
Eat the rich people.
Yeah. Eat the rich, man.
Yeah, cut their heads off.
We ran out of cake.
Gotta eat Marie Antoinette now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cut her fucking head off with a guillotine.
Madame Guillaume or whatever.
So, the year is 2000. The Matrix came out a year ago. Lord of the Rings coming out next year.
Okay? Nice. All right. We're at a good spot. We're prime.
We're prime, yeah. We're coming off that high of the Matrix, and we don't even know what's coming in Lord of the Rings.
How do you even know that you're like 8 years old?
What's that?
How do you even know the date like The Matrix came out?
I know the date because it was like a big... Yeah, it was like a big thing for me when in last year in 2018, it was like, whoa, The Matrix is going to be 20 years old next year. So like this year, The Matrix 20 years old. It's just one of those things that like I read online to make you feel old.
Yeah, that's nothing next to 40,000 years of history, though.
No.
Wrong universe, but yeah, I agree.
What?
We're doing Warhammer Fantasy Battle, not 40K.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, this is only 2,000.
What's the difference?
Guns.
I mentioned it at the top of the show.
Yeah, well, it's someone, like, they have guns or they don't have guns?
Yeah, they're different systems. They're, again, it's kind of like, It's like somebody activated sandbox mode in the same universe two different times.
Okay.
And has like two different save states going. In one of them, they're like, I'm going to play with the guys with guns. And the other one,
okay.
They're kind of like parallel dimensions, okay. I guess, with the same gods of chaos. And
yeah,
and all that
I got the gods part. Sorry, I didn't fully clock in.
Yeah.
The gods of chaos sit between two desks on swivel chairs, and they are having two independent games together.
It. Okay.
They pop back and forth. They're like chess grandmasters playing in the park.
Yeah. Against old Jewish men talking about philosophy.
So in the year 2000, our old homie, the Twin-Tailed Comet, returns and wipes out the city of Mordheim, City of the Damned.
Wait a second. It hit this time?
What's that?
It hit us this time?
No, it shows up in the sky, and then another comet lands, which I briefly mentioned on the last episode, where it's like he brings his homie.
Oh, okay. He's like winding up his right hand with the twin-tailed comic, and then
and he's going
suck
hey,
a punch
hey,
with the left
hey,
hand.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he gives him a little jab with the left hand.
Yeah. Pokes him in the eyes with two fingers.
It wipes out Mordheim, City of the Damned, which was a playable set in Warhammer, and I think Warhammer 40K even had a Mordheim set, but I'm
really
not positive about that one. Again, parallel universes, I suppose. And this twin-tailed comet was supposedly foretelling the second coming of Sigmar.
Okay.
Well, we'll just have to find
best
out.
Best Christmas ever!
Yeah. yeah. Just like Christmas morning, and it's like opens up a kid like opens up a gift, and it's like his favorite action figure of the god Sigmar.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, thanks, mom and dad. And it like pans out, and there's like a comet careening towards the city.
So I thought you'd say he'd open up his gift, it's just all Oreo frosting.
Oreo frosting and hollowed out baguette. Thanks, mom and dad.
It's a white Christmas again.
Yeah. So the next three centuries are known as the Age of Three Emperors, which I think is just funny because in 1979, I believe, a woman, Marienburg was elected emperor.
Okay.
And the head of the Church of Sigmar at the time refused to crown a woman and basically fractured the entire empire just because of his sexism.
Oh, yeah, he made flustered British noises. He's like, exactly.
Most good uncouth. A woman wearing a crown?
Jowls slapping against the sides of his neck.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a bulldog.
Yeah. Even after he stops moving, the jowls just keep moving.
It's like a lava lamp.
Oh, gross.
So the next three centuries are called the Age of Three Emperors because basically three people take like, oh, the crown should be mine because I may not have been elected, but I am a man. And then the family of the woman. And
that is good enough for our ordained democracy that yeah. God left behind.
Let's, yeah, exactly.
Let's just fuck it up.
God himself. And it like that's the thing. It was a member of the church of like the Pope of the Church of Sigmar.
Oh, okay.
That basically fucked all this up. And if you remember, one of the tenets of the Cult of Sigmar is bear true allegiance to His Imperial Majesty the Emperor.
Which, yeah.
Guess that guy fucked it up. during this time, during the Age of
Three... In brackets, ESS, Empress.
Yeah.
Just in case, they had an amendment.
Yeah. So during these three centuries, the Age of Three Emperors, another chaos incursion occurs. Incursion occurs, it's hard to say.
That's, yeah.
This is the largest ever seen at the time. And the ensuing conflict became known as the Great War Against Chaos. During this war, a champion of the Varg tribe, one of the Northern Chaos Barbarians.
Okay, yeah.
V-A-A-R-G?
V-A-R-G.
Okay.
Just Varg. He forces himself upon an innocent woman of the Norskan tribe, so one of the southern tribes, the Empire. The woman would later birth a child, Diedrich Kastner.
Okay. He's of two worlds.
What's that?
He's of two worlds, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I didn't write it down, or I think I might have written it down and then cut it.
Yeah.
But okay. There's a prophecy which talks about the end times being foreshadowed by the blood of the two halves.
Okay.
The north and the south.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's cultured, so he drinks blood, but out of a goblet.
Yeah.
Not out of a skull.
So Diedrich Kastner has a stepfather. And he lives with his mom, and he's not crazy about his stepfather. He doesn't really like him. He's an unruly child. His mom passes away, and after the death of his mother, Kastner would be adopted by a local Sigmarite priest. And
he
eventually
didn't get kept by his stepfather?
I think he, like, left. He was like, I don't want to live with him, and maybe the stepfather was like, I don't want I don't want this ill-begotten child.
I'm getting a divorce from you, from your mother, because she's dead.
It's a shitty grimdark fantasy world that's not outside the realm of possibility.
Okay, yeah.
So he eventually becomes a Knight Templar of the Order of the Twin-Tailed Comet, which is like a faction within the Cult of Sigmar.
Okay.
So in Warhammer Fantasy...
You're going to need a big business card for that one.
In Warhammer Fantasy Battle, you can always buy, you could buy any box set of units, and then how you paint them determines which army they serve in.
Right, yeah.
So the Order of the Twin-Tailed Comet would be like a color scheme in the Warhammer Fantasy Battle.
Okay, yeah, well, it's the same thing in 40K.
40K,
remember,
the Blood Ravens.
Friend of the show, Nick, gave me a Dreadnought, which if I had painted red would have been something else, but I painted it blue, which is Ultramarines.
Yeah, exactly.
The uniforms tell them where they come from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just to say, he was of the Order of the Twin-Tailed Comet.
Okay.
What's that color scheme? You looked that up?
I didn't.
Fucking B+ podcast.
If you looked up every possible question we could have, he would have had to research for like years.
We'd all just be in here for hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Where do comets come from?
How do they get two tails?
Yeah.
How the fuck that happen?
Where's the name Diedrich come from?
Well, rocks go grow from the ground, so comets grow on big planets.
Comets are made of ice, mostly. That's why they get the tails.
Mostly ice, I think.
Yeah. They have tails because that is them melting.
You know what? You know what's a fun thing about
Sonic has that too.
You know what the fun thing about tails? Sonic does have tails, and his friend Tails has many tails.
Sonic is made of ice.
Yeah, Miles Prowler.
That's why he's blue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There we go.
So Diedrich Kastner has a kid named Miles Prowler.
Gotcha.
No, not. Fun thing about comets: the tails do not face opposite the direction that they're moving. They face just like a direction away from the nearest star.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're melting.
There's no drag in space. It's like the radiation that comes off the sun hitting the comet that gives them a tail.
Yeah,
that is cool.
Isn't that weird?
No, that is cool. That is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The comet cast.
Big dumb comet. Big dumb backwards comet. Tail point out in front of it. Stupid comet.
Just walking with his dick out. So
it never was, enter a galaxy dick first. That's a bad move, comet.
It was during Kastner's time as a Knight Templar, however, that he learned the truth of his biological father.
Oh, okay.
That he was of the North.
He was a rapist barbarian.
Exactly. Despairing, Kastner looked for salvation at the Temple of Sigmar in Altdorf. He turns to his god. He's like, hey,
is this their version of the Vatican City?
Yeah, essentially.
Sorry, that's a weird way to say that.
The version of the Vatican City. So Altdorf at the time is the seat of power of the emperor. It's where the emperor's court is, and there's the grand temple to Sigmar is there.
Okay.
So here Kastner prayed to a golden statue of Sigmar, begging for a sign and asking for help from the evil that he felt within him.
The only reference image we have of Sigmar, sadly, is him being caught jerking it to skeleton porn. Yeah. So it's a fucking weird statue.
Exactly. There's an example of a joke that you would have to listen to the last episode to get.
Sorry.
It's more of a fountain, less of a...
and it's... the fountain is not water, but it's the inside of Oreos.
Yeah.
Oreo frosting.
Birds just kind of sink halfway and die.
Oh boy. So here Kastner prayed to a golden statue of Sigmar, begging for a sign and asking for help from the evil that he felt within him. The golden statue stood silent, and the cursed Templar felt hopeless. He renounced the gods of the south, but still did he hate the dark gods of his father. So
no gods for
mandatory
him.
Hercules reference. That's where Herc goes up on top of the mountain and talks to Zeus, and nothing happens for a little bit.
Yeah, and then he pounds the ground, and then a bolt of lightning comes in, and Zeus comes to life. Doesn't happen in this case.
No,
Sigmar never comes to life. So yeah, he goes and prays.
Fucking Hercules.
He prays for guidance, and he doesn't get it. And he basically says, well, fuck this. I don't believe in the gods of the south. I don't believe in Ulrich or Sigmar anymore. The southern pantheon. But he still hates the dark gods because they're the ones who inspired his father to do the hateful things, and he feels like this.
But he believes in the dark gods still? Isn't that kind of counterintuitive?
No, he doesn't. He specifically doesn't. He hates the dark gods.
Okay.
But he is feeling their presence within him now.
Okay.
So now that he's aware of his past, he kind of understands where these weird feelings, when he wakes up and his pants are all wet. He understands that his body is changing.
Right.
And it scares him.
His armpit hair gets kind of plucked at by his chainmail.
Yeah, and he's like, he stinks all the time, but he hasn't quite gotten into the habit of showering every day.
Right. finding himself very attracted to this girl emperor.
So he swears that he still hates the dark gods, the ruinous powers, but he also renounces the gods of the south, Sigmar, and says, like, I'm not going to serve you anymore. Diedrich Castner felt his destiny within him and felt in it the chance to get revenge on all the gods which he had damned. Castner vowed to accept his destiny and repay the cruel fates for the evil they had done him.
Okay.
So he sees in him the power of fate, antagonist powers, I guess, in this case, and says, I can use the... Like, I hate the dark gods and what they did, but I'm going to use their power and I'm going to kill them all.
Okay.
In that moment, he became Archaon the Ever-Chosen, the Three-Eyed King, greatest of all the champions of chaos.
Three-Eyed King?
The Three-Eyed King.
Neat.
So he gets that later on when he recovers an artifact, one of the... Six treasures of chaos. I'll go into each of the specific ones, but one of them is like a stone which he embeds in the crown that he wears.
Oh, okay.
And it grants him the power of prophecy.
Cool.
Which he uses to dodge the attacks of people who try and kill him.
Not necessarily win the fight, but at least not get killed.
Yeah. So for those who did listen to last week's episode, and the Ever Chosen is like the prime champion of the gods of chaos.
Okay.
So,
Oh, there was that one guy who was defeated only once, correct? For the first and only time by Sigmar.
No, so that was a demon.
Oh.
That was one of the greater demons of Khorne. That was the Skulltaker of Khorne.
Excuse me, yes.
Uzul. But there was Morkar, who was the Ever-Chosen who fought Sigmar, and Sigmar defeated in the first Chaos Incursion.
Right. And that was his one and only.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's been other Ever-Chosen since, and it's always one of them that leads the incursions of chaos, basically.
Okay.
And in this moment, when he accepts his destiny, accepts the dark side within him, he becomes the Ever-Chosen of chaos.
Okay. But is he going to fight against chaos with the powers of chaos in that case?
He says eventually.
Okay.
So at this point, he's very much a nihilist, where he's like, I'm not going to fight against the powers of chaos. I'm just going to fucking kill everything.
Mm. Okay.
He's a nihilist and also a nihilist.
Yes.
He annihilates everything.
It's almost like that's where that word came from.
Nope. Nope, it's not.
So, vast armies would follow him, and countless enemies lay broken in the path he carved with the powers of chaos. But inside, he fully resented the ruinous powers and the anguish they had brought him. I have a quote for you guys from the Prophecy of Fate, taken by the Book of Divination by Necrodomo the Insane.
Necromone.
So, forged from the other world, six treasures shall he possess. Upon his head the crown shall see all, and open eyes will prove woe to mortal kind. Then shall he ride unto the world. Then will the world know that the last war has begun.
Okay, so he's basically leading them to the end of the world.
Yeah, so like I said, we're doing the end times.
Oh,
right. I skipped like some kind of irrelevant chunks of his life. Like, his big thing was really like...
he went to the washroom a lot.
The last
leave
war.
That out.
Yeah.
No, it's all irrelevant if the end times are coming. So.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty nihilistic. That's pretty on brand.
Yeah. Don't you mean annihilistic?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Nihilistic.
Thank you.
That's pretty analistic there.
Hey, annihilistic.
So, Necrodomo the Insane came up with this prophecy where he talks about six treasures, which I mentioned, the six treasures of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
One of which, upon his head, the crown shall see all. That was the eye of Sirion, which he inserts into his crown.
Right, and that's the third eye that gave him his name, right?
The three-eyed king. So the six treasures are the mark of chaos, or one mark of chaos in particular, the armor of Morkar, the first of the Ever-Chosen. He's going to steal his armor.
Okay.
The eye of Sirion. Dorgar, Steed of the Apocalypse, and finally, Uzul, the Slayer of Kings. Now, Uzul might sound familiar to you guys, because it's also the name of the Skulltaker of Khorne.
Yes.
It was the sword of the second Ever-Chosen after Morkar, who we haven't spoken about at all. The second Ever-Chosen took a shard of the Skulltaker of Khorne's spirit and trapped it within his blade.
Cool.
To make it stronger. And now, thousands of years later, that spirit within that blade has gone mad, and now he's just got, like, a crazy sword.
It's like Umbra from The Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Evil sword.
Evil sword. It is an evil sword. It's, like, evil everything, honestly. It's the... I can go into each one a little bit more specifically, if you guys want.
Sure.
So, the Mark of Chaos, the specific Mark of Chaos, there's one for, like, all demons kind of have their own mark. This is a special mark that he collects by reconsecrating an altar of true darkness in a city called Naggaroth, which all four of the Lords of Chaos, this mark has all their power, whereas most marks would only have the power of one god, like okay. You would swear to one god, but now he's the Ever-Chosen and he has the power of all four.
Now, is this mark like a tattoo, or is this thing that's just branded on his armor?
It ends up branded on his forehead.
Okay.
And like it's ever-burning. It's described as ever-burning on his forehead.
Okay.
So it's like a miner's headlamp, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's always on.
But it's always on. Yeah. Can't turn it off.
God, he must be just awful to share a room with.
Oh, it's inconvenient when he's driving at night because you get the glare on the window.
On the windshield on the inside. Yeah. It's very unsafe.
He's a miner. He's probably not driving.
Thankfully, though, he's got the Steed of the Apocalypse, which I'm presuming is his mount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dorgar. It actually had like three different names, but two of them were very difficult to pronounce. I could say Dorgar on air. No problem. The armor of Morkar, like I'd said, it's the armor worn by Morkar, the first ever chosen, which is just like plus 17 defense or whatever, you know? Makes you super hard to kill, even though Sigmar killed him once in it, I guess.
Yeah.
The Eye of Shirion, which made me think of the...
It's like taped back together. It's like, you'll be invulnerable.
The Eye of Shirion is Ed Sheeran's eye. No. It's a stone which grants prophetic powers to its wielder, which Archaon placed in his crown to allow him to predict and avoid his enemy's attacks. Archaon killed the Chaos Dragon Flamefang, who hoarded the stone in order to get it.
Okay.
So dragons love treasure, as we all know from The Hobbit.
Yep.
And this dragon, Flamefang's most prized possession was this stone, and he went and killed the dragon for it.
Cool. So I always have an easier time with this stuff whenever we like ground it a bit in reality. If you're playing the game, do you get these artifacts for certain characters that you play with? And does it affect like a role or something like that?
So there is equipment in the game. I'm not familiar enough with Warhammer Fantasy Battle to know if these specific things
exist. Okay.
Like specifically if you can get the Eye of Shirion, like I doubt it. Just because it seems like it's like a legendary artifact.
But in concept,
like in the tabletop game.
Yeah. In concept, if you played it out, then
it would work. When you're playing Warhammer Fantasy Battle,
you can
give individual units individual items.
Okay.
You just like glue the item onto them. So I have orc boys or boar boys. And they like I can paint one of them with a drum, which gives the whole unit a certain advantage as long as the drummer is still alive.
Oh,
and one of them can carry like a banner, which gives the whole unit an advantage as long as the standard bearer is alive.
Yeah, I remember when I was building and doing the dreadnought, you choose what weapons to equip it with. So I gave it like a big five-fingered fist and a flamethrower, opposed to like a spear and a crush claw, and then you choose whether you have the machine gun or the plasma cannon. Yeah.
And I don't know if you can buy heroes in Warhammer, so you can get like specific characters to like lead your armies and such. I do not know if Archaon is a specific character you can buy.
Okay.
He seems like way overpowered.
It
would be like getting Sigmar, like the god of all man, as a character. Which,
it's a legend thing, right? Like, if it was there, it wouldn't be like for competitive play.
Exactly,
it would just be like a...
It'd be like a style thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You could say like I'm leading, I'm playing Archaon in this battle or whatever.
Yeah.
You RP as Akon.
Exactly.
As Akon. What the fuck am I talking about?
As Akon.
Yeah. Dump all your crabs out of the bucket.
was that
a song?
No, that was. Was that?
He did Lime in the Coconut. Right?
Crab in the Bucket was the same people who did Roses Smell Like Poo Poo, and I think it was Outkast.
Outkast.
Crab in the Bucket?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Outkast is Roses Really Smell Like Poop. I don't know Crabs in the Bucket. I have no idea what you guys are
talking about. Put your crab in the bucket.
Yeah.
Put the lime in the
trying
coconut.
To get down, but you're moving up.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know so little about music. I am sorry if you had to listen to that.
I had that on my first DSP.
I listen to hardcore. So the next treasure is Dorgar, the Steed of the Apocalypse, a demonic beast owned by the Daemon Prince Agramon in the Realm of Chaos.
Is it a spooky horse or something else?
I don't know visually what it looks like, but I know it can... I don't know visually what it looks like.
It's a pink unicorn.
When Archaon is using it, but I know it can shape change.
Oh,
so,
cool.
I guess it can be whatever he wants it to be.
Presumably gets larger depending on the size of the person riding it?
Yeah, I assume.
Okay. It's like a belt.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a magic armor in D&D, because in Dungeons & Dragons, if you're like an 8-foot-tall Goliath, and you have a piece of magic armor, you can give it to the gnome, and the armor will change size to fit the wearer.
Oh, okay. It's got a drawstring on the back.
It just gets way thicker.
Yeah.
Like, it's like arms out like a kid about to go outside in the winter.
You just roll him down the hill.
same amount of material. It just like shrinks down.
Yeah, I think so.
Right, a cannonball is here. Gnome, put this armor on.
Yeah, magic's not perfect. We're still working out some of the kinks.
So Archaon's...
Come on, it's magic. It can't do everything.
Could power intergalactic ships across, like, the phlogiston to New Worlds, but, like,
yeah,
can't shrink armor properly. No. It's not a dryer. I don't know if we... I think we talked off-air about Peter's last turtleneck, which he shrunk in the wash.
I did.
You subscribe to us on Patreon for the outtakes where we talk about Peter's turtlenecks.
We don't have a Patreon.
We don't have a Patreon. Yeah. And we did not save that bit.
No. Nope.
And to call it a bit is pretty generous.
Yeah.
So Archaon sneaks into and vaults onto the beast's back, sneaks into Agramon's stable, sorry. I guess stable in the Realm of Chaos.
Right.
I'm more like unstable in my
life. I was going to say, oh gosh.
So the steed changed wildly in shape and burst into flames, but the Everchosen was able to break it like a stallion and rides it out of the Realm of Chaos.
Cool.
Finally, Uzul.
That must have been an interesting experience for him. Yeah. When he jumps on his back and it changes shape constantly. Yeah, like Groundskeeper Willy when he's when he's trapped in the sandbox in the dream when he's Freddy Krueger. He turns into like a rocket and it kind of bagpipe spider.
Yeah, bagpipe spider. And then Maggie ends up blowing him up. I just watched that episode the other day.
Really? Guys, no spoilers.
No, okay, sorry.
No spoilers for 20-year-old episodes of The Simpsons.
And then it bursts into flames. Like, oh, Jesus!
Yeah, yeah. So, and then the last one is Uzul, a legendary Chaos Blade wielded by Vangle, the second ever chosen, who had bound a fragment of Uzul, the Skulltaker of Khorne, into the blade.
It's a crazy sword.
It's a crazy... Going off the rails on a crazy sword. Yeah, so now that I jumped to the bottom, I have to jump back up. When Archaon finally collects those six treasures of chaos and completes his centuries-long journey across the darkest places of Malice, he unites the last of the northern tribes under his banner and begins his assault on the Empire in earnest.
Okay, so he became disillusioned with the gods, began to wage war against the northern realms to get the relics of chaos. Then, once he got them, united them, now he's turning that car around and he's going to beat up the Empire of Man.
The Empire of Man.
Okay.
So he rejected the gods.
Yep.
Accepted his fate. Knew of the prophecy of that the Everchosen, like he accepted that he was the Everchosen, basically.
Right.
He felt his destiny within him. And he knew of the prophecy that the end of the world would come when the Everchosen found these six treasures of chaos. Necrodomo the Insane prophesized it.
I like how people are trusting a man who has the word insane in his...
Yeah. Insane, but a prophet, I guess.
You know? Dude, have you tried that steak tartare? It's insane,
it's
dude.
Insane.
Yeah. So it could be a good thing, too, right? Yeah.
That wolf,
it's like it was like a name given to him by like people who didn't like him to try and discredit him.
It's the Church of Sigmar.
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't listen to him. He's insane.
Yeah, that's...
Don't listen to that guy who's predicting the Powerball numbers.
Insane. He's got no brain. Yeah.
The end. He's literally a guy standing on a street corner saying the end is nigh, but like... He might be right.
He got it, yeah.
He might be right. I have said several times so far this episode that we're doing the end of the world, but...
Yeah. Even Ethan's right twice a day.
Keep listening to find out. Yeah. I am the human equivalent of a broken clock.
It was really his presentation is why nobody believed him. Like, he was completely correct about the end of the world, but, I mean, just that sandwich board wasn't doing him any favors.
Yeah. So, yeah. He listens to the crazy guy on the corner.
Yeah.
He's, like, walking to get his bagel in the morning, and the crazy guy's like, the end is nigh if the Everchosen finds all six treasures of chaos. He's like, Everchosen? Well, that's me. He's like, well, this guy sounds crazy, but I guess I got nothing to do after I got my bagel.
Yeah, I'll test it.
Yeah, I mean, my calendar's pretty open for this.
It's like a fucking TED Talk. It's just like, I carried out the prophecies of a raving lunatic for 1,000 years, and listen to my journey.
Here's why everybody should listen to crazy people on street corners with sandwich boards.
Yeah, that's the opinion article on The Guardian that we were just making fun of before you got here. That bald guy who says, don't trust men with good hair.
So
that might be that's probably a good one there. I guess like your art could just be
a bald guy not yelling about not trusting people.
The crazy man giving a TED talk or something. Yeah,
That could be good.
We'll see what happens.
So yeah, he hears that. It takes like a couple centuries to gather all the artifacts, but once he does, he unites the tribes of the north by just being like like strong enough. So like he's accepted as the Ever Chosen, and right. like, everybody kind of knows he assembles the largest Chaos Horde like ever imagined, ever dreamed of.
You said by being just strong enough, is he like a 51% kind
of
guy?
No, like just by being strong enough.
Oh, excuse me.
Like
okay.
like he doesn't really
my
have
brute
to fight
strength alone.
Yeah. Yeah, like just like presence almost.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have to fight to conquer the tribes kind of like Sigmar had to. He is literally just like everyone's just like, yeah, we're not going to fuck with him. Like, well, you say we got to do something? Okay, let's just go do that. I'm not going to fuck with you. So it's mentioned that it's like it's the biggest horde, and like these are like wandering barbarians who aren't well organized. And it is mentioned at some point that it's like most of the time, like the logistics of this kind of army would just be impossible. Yeah. But just like his presence leading it was enough to make everyone fall in line. And
the relics
like,
give him the power to herd cats.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
Okay, like, yeah.
The seventh treasure of chaos was the power to herd cats.
That's cool.
Yeah, so now he begins his assault on the Empire in earnest once everyone's following him. First, Archaon slaughtered those of the city of Kislev, which I'm not going to talk too much about because I had a bunch written for it, but it got a little long.
Time
a little long in the tooth. But yeah, there's the city of Kislev, which had been sacked during the last Chaos Incursion, which the first that he slaughters. The great wizard Balthazar Gelt, excuse me.
Balthazar's a great name.
It is a great
name. Just want
to
say.
The only reason I included his name, because I know, like, we try not to stick, like, throw in too many names, but I'm like, Balthazar is just such a good fucking name.
Yeah.
Old ballsy.
That's what they called him.
He manages to erect a massive wall that held the forces of chaos like a floodgate for a time. So he's literally like Donald Trump, build that wall. And forces of chaos, I guess, in this horrible metaphor that I've begun, now can't finish, now must finish.
Keep going!
The forces of chaos are the Mexicans, just south of the border.
Oh, no.
And don't talk to me. Talk to the weird, like, pseudo German propaganda empire that we're like the Ottoman Empire that we're following here.
You said a lot of words, but it's not really making up for anything.
Okay. Hey, look, I just committed to the end is the best way to do that. Instead of trying to turn it around, it's just like, all right.
So
yeah, it's
just like Donald Trump's wall. One of the big criticisms is that walls don't really stop people with ladders. The Norsemen are able to scale, so he builds like this massive wall that like limits how many people can get through, but like the Norsemen are still able to just climb over it.
Okay. One guy gets across, hits the big red button that says open.
Yeah.
Or crumble. There's like one button, the whole thing just falls to pieces. Yeah.
So they don't get like the full army over right away, but they manage to get war bands over who are able to like wreak devastation.
Okay. Yeah.
In the back lines. The Skaven, the rat people, feeling their imminent annihilation, ingratiate themselves with the forces of the North and were allowed to serve. Basically, because the Ever Chosen was like, yeah, you guys worship the Chaos Gods too.
Yeah.
You're allowed to serve.
Now we have someone to eat all those discarded Oreo cookie shells that we have. Yeah. Give it to the rat boys. They'll eat anything.
Skavens, yeah.
I mentioned this mostly because like the games Vermintide, which are fairly popular. A lot of that is kind of during this time, where the Vermintide was like an actual event in Warhammer lore. And it's after this point when they're like summoning all sorts of forces. They're working like directly for the ruinous powers at this point.
Yeah, okay.
They're like, we don't want to get wiped out, so you know,
get a job.
They're like opening portals to other dimensions for the forces of chaos and everything.
Okay. I watched Bobby play that game last week for a little while, and I'm like a stiff breeze away from buying it. It looks really good.
It's Left 4 Dead with rats.
Yeah,
it was $13 last week.
Oh, I know. It looks really good.
I did pick it up. That's how I know that.
Awesome.
Because I was too watching Bobby Ferry play. our studio guest.
Yeah.
Our studio cat. And I was watching him play, and then I just checked my phone. I was like, it's only $13. I'm just gonna buy it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't enjoy it that much. You really need a group to play with. I find anyway.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Left 4 Dead, where it's not that fun if you're just playing with randoms. Like, you need to get on voice chat with
them. I like the way that it looks, that there's like a lot of progression, and I know there's like loot boxes or whatever, but it gives you like stuff that gets better and better.
And it's so not like, it's not loot boxes you pay for.
So. No, it's not. It's like by playing.
Okay, cool.
By playing, you'll get gear that just gets better and better, and right, you'll be like, oh, cool, I got a new axe, and now I can go do the same level, but I got better stuff.
Yeah, there are cosmetic things that you can buy, like their skins and stuff.
Yeah,
you might be able to buy loot boxes, but
yeah,
it's not. Yeah. It's like in no way PvP. It's like you're a team playing PvE, so
yeah,
it's not like people are getting an unfair advantage on you. Yeah, like paying for it.
It's like spending money in Warframe, which is PvE.
Exactly, right.
And there's. Yeah, never mind. I'm not going to get into this.
We'll talk about it.
Vermintide, in my opinion, not the most fun game, but really cool lore behind it, which I very much like. Exactly. I could probably do an episode just on the Vermintide.
I'd be really interested in that, actually. Yeah.
So Valtan, the Chosen of Sigmar, who I briefly mentioned again on last week's podcast.
Sigmar? Yeah.
Valtan.
Okay, yeah.
Who was the Lord of Middenheim for a while.
Okay.
And he was born with the twin-tailed comet as well, which heralded the second coming of Sigmar.
So he was the
Jesus is back, baby.
Yeah, he was the guy. Did Sigmar not put him in charge? He was like, "Yo, I'm gonna step out for some fresh air. Just take my house keys and lock the door behind me."
No, not him. This is like 2,000 years.
Oh,
later.
Excuse me. Okay.
All men are, or 2,500, 2,800 years later. All men of that time are gone. But he's born with the twin-tailed comet, just like Sigmar was. And everyone's like, "That means Sigmar is coming back." He's appointed the Lord of Middenheim in this dire time. Middenheim is this ancient city underneath which is something that the forces of chaos really want, which we'll get into in a bit. And with the aid of Sigmar and Valtan, with the aid of Sigmar and Ulrich, the two greatest gods of the empire, he resolves to vanquish Archaon in battle. So he's like, I've said my prayers this morning. I'm gonna go kill that guy who's just killing absolutely everything in his path.
Fair.
Yeah. I think I could probably take him.
I think I could take him.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Does he?
He couldn't.
Oh.
So to be a man of the north, dang, at the time, you guys have to understand, was to walk in the wake of a legend. Betrayed beneath the city of Teclis, the loremaster of Ulthuan, the flame of Ulrich sputtered out as the god's soul was consumed in a resurrection ritual. So the loremaster at the time,
James Miller,
for the Empire of Man.
My dog caged the blanket on it.
More bird cage.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking a bird cage.
Yeah, because that's what you throw a blanket on.
Okay, I've done both.
I throw a blanket on myself sometimes.
I've heard it said both ways.
Yeah.
So there's this guy Ulrich, the lore master at the time, whose brother had died at some point. And he is his brother was a champion of Sigmar as well. And he is convinced that the only way to stop the forces of chaos coming is to resurrect his brother. And in doing his mad scientist ritual, he ends up basically killing one of the gods, Ulrich, the greatest god of man, basically.
Oh.
Where Sigmar is a demigod given his powers by Ulrich. Yeah. Ulrich was the god that gave him those powers. So really fucked it up.
He took all his god juice and tried to give it to his brother, or what?
Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
Didn't work. His brother did not
come back.
Forgot
to plug in the other end of the hose.
Yeah.
Just dumped it into a river.
God juice all over the place.
But of course, because of chaos, he just can't get a grip on the nozzle.
Yeah, that's it.
And then it just, like, once it runs out, just like, psh, and yeah, like whips up one last time and falls just limply onto the ground.
Yeah,
he's just covered in it. He's like,
oh no. I hope Ulrich's okay.
I gotta clean this up
before
my dad gets home.
It's like, I hope Ulrich's okay. Like, pants to Ulrich. He's just like this shriveled up husk, like,
completely emaciated.
Like, no more moisture left in him.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Hopefully they left the cameras on. A lot of Skaven would pay good money for that kind of scene.
Oh yeah. Just bootleg VHS's trench coat rat boy.
Yeah, yeah. top 10 anime betrayals of all time. So Valtan, wielding Sigmar's hammer, Galmaraz, the Warhammer.
The Dwarven Relic.
The Warhammer Fantasy Battle.
The one you see on all the covers.
Does wreak devastation upon the forces of the North and all their heroes who would challenge him, until finally the Everchosen himself closed with Valtan. And with that, the greatest conquest of the forces of chaos was realized. Valtan fell to Archaon, and Middenheim soon followed.
Dang.
Oh, fuck.
So and you guys will remember, now Archaon has the Warhammer, has Galmaraz.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He builds a throne out of the skull of Valtan and other skulls, and Galmaraz itself on top of the Star of Chaos, which is like the symbol of the Chaos Gods.
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
Pretty fucking metal.
Yeah.
So the hated Empire of the South was all but vanquished. Altdorf, a festering ruin. Talibheim, a scorched waste. And Middenheim, the staging ground from where the Northern would strike the final blow against Sigmar's heirs. But one province remained to the Empire, Averland, and soon the forces of chaos fell upon it. Averland was seemingly doomed, yet just before all was lost, salvation arrived in the form of the dwarven warriors of Carrick-Kedrin, led by the mighty King Ungrim Ironfist and Sigmar Heldenhammer himself, in the form of Emperor Carl Franz.
Carl Franz.
Yeah, so Carl Franz is like the... If you see the emperor, he's like, Sigmar was like the first emperor, but like I said, the modern times came like 2,000 years later.
Right.
And Karl Franz is like the emperor that everybody knows. You know what I mean? Like he's the face. And he was basically
the dictionary picture.
He's like the spirit of Sigmar in like the purest form. He uses a warhammer. He has a griffin called Deathclaw that he rides.
Oh, who's the father of Sigmar? Because now we have the spirit of Sigmar. Sigmar. Isn't it like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Because there's a second coming and everything, right?
Yeah. The Father, I think, was actually named Ulrich after the first god.
Okay.
But I can't remember entirely.
Okay, cool.
The Father, the Son, the Holy Comet, you know.
So, yeah, Archaon was like, okay, go my forces, go sack Averland, the last Empire settlement, and then we'll be done with this. And Sigmar himself kind of shows up in Karl Franz. And Arcan's like, okay, it's going to take a little heavier hand, a little bit more of a direct approach. So seeing that the time for direct action was now, Arcan made a sacrifice of Tzeentch's greatest servant to Khorne, and Kabanda, Lord of the Third Host, arose. So he basically, one of the Lords of Chaos, Tzeentch, had this great demon, his like right-hand man. The Everchosen slays this demon in a sacrifice to Khorne, the Blood God, who is the greatest of the Lords of Chaos. And gives birth to a new champion.
Just in a pinch, he's like, quickly, I need some blood. Yeah. That guy!
That's it. And it's like this massive, like, it's like the stereotypical demon with like red skin and glowing red eyes, horns and wings, but it's like, I don't know, 150 feet tall. And
sweet.
Just, yeah, wreaks devastation. So the tide of chaos settles in full upon Averheim. The numbers so great that they scaled their dead to mount the walls. Ungrim, the dwarf Jesus, lord, fell as a champion of Khorne used him as a flail against his own men. So that guy who showed up and saved the day last time, he literally was used as like a flail. He manages to like strike a blow against the demon. He like hits him, but like in the arm that was holding him. So the demon like flinches and throws him away.
Oh no.
And goes like just bull rushes him, and he manages to like slice the demon open, but the demon like just crushes him against a pillar and then throws him off a cliff.
That's metal.
Jesus Christ.
So the Everchosen and
the dwarf heaven, like, how'd you die? Oh, I got hit with my king.
Yeah.
Essentially. That's rough. The Everchosen and Franz meet eventually, and the climactic battle shakes the earth. Bolts of holy light split the heavens to rain upon Archaon, while his own dark magic swirled a miasma around him. Archaon, after slaying the Emperor's griffin, rains blows down upon the fallen man, who blocked with his hammer until the weapon itself shattered.
Fuck.
Neato.
So there was a moment where like Archaon swung for like Franz's neck, and the griffin, Deathclaw, saw before the Emperor did, so the Emperor wasn't going to block, and the griffin managed to like twist its body in the way.
He get down, Mr. President-ed him?
Yeah, basically the Everchosen killed his dog before killing him, because they were like best friends, I guess. Best friends with his griffin.
He lived out in the woods. He wasn't very interesting.
And then, so he falls to the earth, and Archaon settles onto him, takes like one big blow, and Franz manages to block it, takes another big swing, and it just shatters the hammer. And then Archaon uses his magic to strip all the power of Sigmar out of Franz and just leave him like a mortal man, basically. And at that point, he denies him even a warrior's death, claiming he was unworthy of that.
Oh,
so he's just like, you're nothing to me now, like, just like go and like wear your shame for the rest of your life. Meanwhile, beneath Middenheim, an ancient gate, long sought by the forces of chaos, was being prepared to open a gateway to chaos, that the ruinous powers might use it to devour all of Malice.
That's what they've been looking for, right?
So yeah, for like thousands of years, there's been this gate. There was, if I do an episode on the old ones, we'll talk about the like the gates at the North and South Pole.
Oh, cool.
Which were destroyed like millennia ago and led to the death of the old ones. This is a very similar gate, but there's like nothing there. There's no off switch on this one. It's just like you turn it on, and it can run out of control. And the forces of chaos have been trying to get this for like millennia, but have never conquered Middenheim before.
Right, yeah.
So Sigmar,
just like the little hook lock on it. They're just like, that'll hold them.
One of those like fence latches, and like the forces of chaos are like trying to fish a line like over it just to like lift the latch on the other side of the gate. This whole time, while the battle's going on.
More in terms of role playing, maybe there was just a door and they kept like checking for traps. There was never a trap, but they kept failing all their rolls.
So paranoid, never went in. Yeah.
And they're all metagaming. They're like, no, we're not going in the door now.
Exactly.
So Sigmar, having been kicked out of his host, Carl Franz, decides, all right, I gotta show up in the flesh now. It's the 11th hour, you know? He reunites with his hammer, Galmaraz, takes his true form in the mortal realm, and he goes to bat with Archaon. He and Archaon fought for the salvation of the world, but as they battled and Sigmar managed to cast Archaon through his own chaos gate, the forces of man failed to close the gate.
Oh.
So he's like, quick, like I'm gonna throw him in the gate, you guys shut the door behind him, and he like throws him in, and then he's like, no, man, and he turns to his men, and like there's just a bunch of demons standing over corpses there looking at him like, so Archaon reemerges, fully mad now from the visions of the warp, which had twisted his mind.
Uh-huh. That's still the between realm, right?
Like, it's the chaos realm, basically.
Yeah. So like the warp
is what it's called in 40K. It's right. What the forces of man how they first discover the forces of chaos in the 40K universe,
right?
And they use it for intergalactic travel,
yeah.
But it's the realm, the plane of chaos. And as Archaon emerged, the chaos gate explodes outwards, devouring the world, and all that could be seen were the two forces clashing in a vain struggle as the world ended.
Cool.
Wow.
So chaos consumes the world.
Like it will ours.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Like everyone who was alive during the end of the world saw like something different. Some people saw, you know, like the like fire and brimstone. Some people saw like the world just turned to ice. Some people saw like infinite blackness and like the stars like consuming the world. Some people saw like tentacles coming down.
Some person poured a bowl of cereal and then realized they had no milk. Kind of milk.
One guy had like all these books to read, but his glasses broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is like that's exactly the lead up to Age of Sigmar. So I promise next time I host, I will do Age of Sigmar like I said I would the last two episodes.
So you had you're leaving us on a cliffhanger that is literally end of time.
Yeah. So
right? Yeah, and then all, going
all
to
time
Europe.
Is, all time is destroyed. Yeah. All time is destroyed. There is a little snippet here which I could read, but I think I'm going to save it for the next episode as kind of a primer leading
okay,
into the
cool.
next episode rather than a primer leading out.
That's the end of time,
episode.
Guys. I'm off to France. Bye.
Yeah, that's it. Gotta get my baguette straw.
Yeah. I got my baguettes to hollow out.
Yeah.
Smuggling contraband. I'm just kidding. If Interpol's listening, I don't do that.
But just double check.
Double check me?
Yeah.
Are you telling Interpol that I might be smuggling baguettes?
Well, yeah.
Top baguette.
Things in my baguettes?
I just want...
Yeah. Full of cocaine.
Yeah. I just want this to hit someone's desk at Interpol because we'll get way more downloads.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. When the UN inevitably suppresses us.
Yeah.
Definitely more.
These international drug smugglers sure are charming.
Yeah.
On their podcast.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, everybody. We've been the Lore Boys. If you want to get in touch with us, please send us an email at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
Yes, please.
That email again is
loreboyspodcast@gmail.com.
We'll read it out loud. loreboyspodcast@gmail.com.
I'm glad you didn't try and spell it this time.
Yeah. Did I do it? Oh, yeah, I did fine last time, right?
No, you spelled it wrong.
Yeah. You put lore, you spelled out lore
the
podcast.
Yeah, you forgot.
Well,
the
it's all of our podcasts, so it's subjective.
Loreboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Podcasts are fluid.
Also, leave us a note, or leave us a note, leave us a review. Us and any other podcast you listen to, it's like a huge way to get more views. We would really appreciate it if you leave us a nice 5-star review.
On iTunes.
And you can leave us feedback on iTunes is the best way to do it. Any other platform that we're on, which I don't even keep track of, it probably helps.
Facebook has one, but iTunes is the way to go. If you're going to go way, do iTunes.
Yeah.
Quick note about the emails, though. If you want to be referred to by first name, last initial, or a username of some kind, please specify, because we had the last guy was just Thomas. We just used his name. Don't know if he was okay with that. It's too late now.
Yeah.
But going forward, if you want to be, whatever, if you're XXX Sniper Wolf 420 Blaze It, and you want to be referred
we'll
to as
that,
such,
yeah.
Fucking...
Yeah,
that's fucking cool as hell.
Let us know what personal information. Yeah. I'm scared of GDPR, so I'm always worried about sharing personal information, so give us your consent and sign it, and thank you.
Also stuff like pronouns and stuff, if you want us to use certain pronouns.
Yeah.
Just so we know.
I guess if we're reading your email out loud.
Because we're idiots. I'm Ethan Palmer. I've been hosting this episode, all episode. You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter. It's pretty much the only place I hang out. And Peter.
I'm at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter. I am the cartoonist for the Lore Boys podcast at theloreboys.com and loreboys.com. Got both domains, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Also, our DeviantArt is where you can download the full-size images, because on the website they're smaller. And our Instagram is loreboyspodcast. Follow that for, I don't know, us holding various weapons and also cartoons and shit.
If you ever wanted to see my face, my name's James Miller, and you can see my face at twitch.tv/theloreboys.
Trust me, you want to see his face.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, usually I'm here hanging out with my pup, just playing some video games, usually on Thursday nights, but I'll pop in here and there, so come check it out. I'm about to finish off Red Dead, and I really want to hop into something new, so I'll bring you guys along on the journey. Cool. Come to twitch.tv/theloreboys.
Twitch.tv/theloreboys.
The Loreboys. Also, like any good podcast, we are powered by money. And if you'd like to send some of it our way, I believe Ethan has an offer for you.
Yeah, so we have a service called Loreboys Premium.
Yep.
It was Loreboys Prime for a while, but now it's Loreboys Premium.
Now it's better.
Now it's better. Now it's more premium.
Yes.
We offer usually a service or a good in exchange for the money that you send us, just as a little thank you for sending us money. So it's a weekly subscription, $79.99 a week, the low price. And this week, Peter,
what are we going to get, Ethan?
Well, Peter and I both prefer the cookie part of the Oreo, and we eat a lot of Oreos. So we've been saving all the fillings. And Jamie recently has taken up marble sculpting as a hobby, and he's sculpted this beautiful fountain of the three of us jerking off in a circle. And we figure you throw the middle of the Oreos in that bad boy, and the water comes right out of our junk. And we're doing a draw to win this sculpture for anybody willing to pay us $80 a week.
Yeah, but you have to have been subscribed for 5 weeks minimum.
Yeah,
none of that new blood. Sorry, guys.
And the draw is next week, so
if you're not subscribed up until this point, sorry.
I guess you're shit out of luck, yeah. I guess we're just rubbing it in your face that you have no chance of winning this glorious sculpture of us.
Now, yeah. if you'd like, though, we do need people to heat the bottom of this thing so it doesn't start coagulating.
Yeah.
So if you want, we just get a bunch of people rubbing their hands in the bottom of that
thing. It's not self-powered, yeah.
No, exactly.
You do have to warm the Oreo filling yourself.
Yeah. Maybe we'll just install a crank. So we just only need two people to do it.
It's just like pushes the Oreo.
Well, we need the Conan the Barbarian slave wheel out in the desert. Feasibly does nothing.
Yeah. And that constitutes a
Loreboys
out.
And times of the podcast.
I usually start with the foam, but then like after like a couple minutes, I'm like, nah, the foam doesn't feel as good, so I take it off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my podcast raw.
And like you slip it off, but like you don't let the podcast know.
Oh yeah.
And then you just like you keep going without it.
Yeah. And then
it's like 9 months. What is that called?
9 months later, ruin the podcast life.
Yeah, that's it. Well,
yeah.
You know what? They'll find out in post.
Gross.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.